prepare to have your mind opened. The lies of the mainstream media are about to be exposed, and the hypocrisy of the left is about to be revealed. You've tuned into Black and Right. This is a revolution in how you think about politics, race, and culture. And leading that revolution are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Welcome to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer. You can still watch us on Facebook Live. We're going to shift gears to impeachment. Give me a call at 312-642-5600 if you have an opinion about the impeachment hearings, good, bad, the other. Tell me what you think, if you think that things are going well for the Democrats or if things are going well for Trump. I try not to pay too much attention to it, even though I follow the news in general. It just seems a little bit too much and a little too early to take them seriously. But I think it took a step backwards the other day when they brought on a shift to the judiciary, and the Judicial Committee had four legal scholars come on and talk about why Trump should or should not be impeached. So I had a liberal friend call me and say, you know, we were talking about something. I said, what are you doing? They said, watching that. And I kind of rolled my ass. Why are you wasting your time watching that? And they were like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's whatever you think. This is just, you know, like Verlon said the last hour, this is completely theater. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, they're not bringing witnesses on. They're bringing on lawyers to say what they think the legal ramifications are and whether it's what he's done is amounts to an impeachable offense or not. The problem with that is with any legal argument, there'll be really well-versed, intelligent, knowledgeable attorneys out there that can argue anything. It's what they do. An example I use is we get stuck in partisan beliefs. So you're on the left. You think Obama's a genius. You say, Obama's smart. He was he has a Harvard law grad, and he was editor of the law review and all this other kind of stuff. So his opinion matters on given issue X. Then conservatives will say, well, Ted Cruz has the same bona fides. But they can look at the same issue and come up with different conclusions. I mean, it's obvious it's no different than when you're in the courtroom. You have defending in the plaintiff and they're arguing different sides and they're presenting the arguments and the issues in a different way. So all this was somebody who with, I'm sure, a great legal mind. I'm not going to take that away from them. Who doesn't like Trump, who wants Trump impeached, saying legally how I can get it done. And then somebody else saying, I like Trump. And I can tell you, although he did say, I'm a never Trumper, but I still believe X. I don't see what the point is of paying attention to that, and because you can always find an attorney that'll give you either opinion. So because these three attorneys say he should be impeached does not change anything. But they were saying, no, this is what they're saying, and this person's a college legal professor and all this other kind of stuff, and that's why it's important. Then Nancy Pelosi goes on the next day and says that we're moving along with these articles of impeachment. So the interviewer asked her and said, we remember back when this started, and played the clip of her saying that this is an important non-political thing that we're doing, and we will not do it unless it's done in a bipartisan fashion. And now you fast forward a couple months, and the interviewer says, so, you move forward, you have no Republican support, not one, would you still do it? She said, yeah. And her argument, or sleight of hand, as it actually is, was that, well, we're going on with what we're supposed to be doing. It's the Republicans who aren't doing what they should be doing and coming aboard. That's not the way it was framed at the beginning. But my biggest laugh and my favorite part of the week was how Pelosi and all the Democrat pundits on the radio, this just has me doubled over in laughter, are saying that this is not what the founders wanted, and quoting the founders and saying, what would the founders say? Now, this part is truly funny. These are the same people who are taking down the founders' statues all over the country. These are the people who are saying that they were all white men and there were no women, so they don't count. These are the people who said they were all slave owners, even though they weren't all slave owners, saying they were all slave owners, so everything they say should be discounted. And now they want to quote all of them and kind of freak out and lament the fact that if they were here, they'd be so torn up about what Trump did. And this is where I said earlier, this is where I teased that as a former Never Trumper, I am actually going to somewhat defend Trump now. As I said when I was on a couple of weeks ago when this stuff was playing out and I mentioned, I gave some examples. Because my argument that these are standard operating procedures, this is how the sausage is made. If you don't like it, that's fine. If you want to change it, that's fine. But it doesn't change the fact that you can't have a situation, and no one should be comfortable with having a situation where 44 presidents can operate in a certain manner, but this one president can't because we don't like him. It's not about whether we like him or not. Trump didn't do anything that Obama and Bush and the other Bush and Clinton and everybody else did. And I use some examples. I mean, I got a perfect example today, but I'm going to mention some of those from a couple of weeks ago because we were only on Facebook Live. You didn't hear it on the radio. So I talked about when Teddy Roosevelt, for instance, wanted to take over the Panama Canal and he needed help with the locals. And there was already civil turmoil bubbling under the surface. So he decided to just, you know, help create a rebellion. And when the new, when the Panamanians separated from Colombia, they're like, hey, part of the deal was if this happened and you got your own government, that you would give us access to the Panama, to dig the Panama Canal. That's foreign. That's quid pro quo. Teddy's in the top five. You know, the one I like the most here is Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was physically unable to do the job. Any respecting president should have stepped down. Anybody in his administration or who found out that he was incapacitated should have gone and pushed that he get moved out. Instead, we played an early 19th century version of Weekend at Woodrow's and propped him up and carried him around and pretended he was lucid so his wife could be president. So why did we do that? That was for personal gain. Because let's see, they're twisting words. They're saying Trump was doing these things for personal gain, and they kind of massage it and say it in ways that you subliminally think he was doing it for cash. Like, do this and give me $20. They don't mean financial gain. They mean personal gain, which can equate to political gain. And I'll give him that argument. That might be true. I don't know for sure, but it's a good chance. The problem is there are a lot of things you do intentionally for political gain that may also be right, like, you know, investigating somebody who's corrupt. But there's also things that you can do for the right reason that has ancillary benefits that are political and personal, that would be considered political and personal gain. So you can't negate something because I gain from it, right? So when Nixon wanted to win the election and he couldn't win unless he won California, so he goes to the governor of California, Earl Warren, and say, look, you deliver me California, you're on the Supreme Court. He won California, Earl Warren became a Supreme Court justice and soon, eventually, the Chief Justice. You know, when Kennedy was running and they were like, he's charismatic and he's smart and people like him, but he can't get over the hump because we've never had a Catholic. He's going to need somebody who can deliver Chicago, so to speak. So Daddy Daly delivers Chicago, you know, or Kennedy's father goes to Boston and New York and all these other areas and uses his influence to make that happen. That he won because of, you know, jockeying behind the scenes in political gain, but, and he's sure he had to pay out the favors. Obama, Look it up and Google it. I don't have the link in front of me because I talked about it a couple weeks ago. But Obama got favors from some of his top donors and made them all ambassadors. This is how the business is done. Like it, don't like it, that's fine. But the truth is, Democrat, Republican, male, Hillary Clinton, doesn't matter. They all do it. So the question is it wrong to do it, or is it just wrong for Trump to do it? Let's keep this impeachment talk going. This is Charles, Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer.
And now, more of Black and Right on AM 560. Here are your hosts, John Anthony and Charles Love.
Welcome back to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer. You have half of Black and Right. John's out. This is Charles. And we're talking impeachment. Give us a call at 312-642-5600 if you want to weigh in on Trump's pending impeachment. And let me know if you think he's in trouble, if you think it'll help him, or you think it's all just a partisan, as he says, witch hunt. Before the break, I was talking about giving many examples of presidents and presidential candidates who became presidents and how they used their influence, horse trading, quid pro quo, and money to get what they want, and how they did acts, whether that was the primary reason or if it was an ancillary benefit, but where they did some things that benefited them politically. Because that's what we're talking, right? What the Democrats are saying is that Trump should be impeached because he did some things and his purpose was to gain politically. So I figured it would be a good idea to get people, because most people aren't crazy like me. When everybody else is watching football and basketball, we'll get to that on the next segment, I'm reading history books and I'm reading the news. And I've read, I don't know, 17 presidential bios so far. I'm currently, of all the books I'm reading them all in order. So I see that, I mean, man, this is just, I know that this is the way the business is done. And it doesn't mean, keep in mind, it doesn't mean I'm condoning it. I'm just saying you don't get to impeach me for doing what everybody does, right? So I think I did 4 or 5 examples before. There's let's do a reasonable example, because some people, so I say something's financial, and they'll say, but we're talking political. I'll use a political example, and they say, but that's not quid pro quo. I give a quid pro quo, they'll say, but foreign. So I use foreign. So I got all types of examples. But then for those I've given in the past, you may say that's too old. So a more recent one is a good buddy, Barack Obama. So to add another category of the complaint is all of this started with election tampering. So how many of you out there know that we consider Israel an ally, but there's still personalities back and forth, and Barack Obama did not like Bibi Netanyahu. So I think he was 3 or 4 terms prime minister of Israel. So while Obama was president, one of his elections came up, and Obama used money and resources to try to get Bibi to lose his election. I thought we said it's wrong to tamper in foreign elections. But nobody wanted to impeach Obama for that. You know, we can keep going on in other scenarios where it comes to that. So that's the issue that I'm having. Not that I'm condoning what Trump did. I'm saying sell me, because you're going to need to sell the American people on the fact that what he did is any different or any worse than what everyone else did. Here's an interesting take. We have Mike on the line who says, people think that Trump is wrong if he's the top, is that law enforcement officer? We got Mike from Yorkville. Welcome to Black and Right.
Charles, thank you for having me on. Mr. Trump is the top law enforcement agent in the country. It's not his fault that Biden, by his own admission, created an air of crime or quid pro quo by saying he wants somebody fired to go ahead and release, you know, funds, get his son on a board. It's not Mr. Trump's fault that somebody causes a crime.
Okay, let me ask you this question.
Let me ask you this question, Mike.
Okay, let me ask you this question. And I'm not even playing devil's advocate. I'm asking because these are the things people will say. So this is what the example I was just using. Remember I said, did the person do it because specifically as a driving force for my gain, or did I do it because it's the right thing to do and there's an ancillary effect? So do you draw a distinction between him saying there's corruption, I'm going after it, and it happens to help me, and, hey, I don't like Biden, he's running against me, he did something wrong, look, I can get him at the same time. I'm not saying he did either one. I'm saying, is there a difference between those two scenarios?
What you are is creating two scenarios that you'll never be able to find out an answer to, because Mr. Trump did not put himself into that position. Mr. Biden did. That is Mr. Biden's fault, not Trump's issue. Trump's issue is to go ahead and investigate crimes.
That he did it only because of that.
That's only speculation what people have.
That's true.
They're speculating what motive he has. You're not going to be able to go ahead and prove it. That, again, does not mean that just because I may be a candidate for a president that I can go ahead and commit crime and then get away with it because I can scream, oh, well, he's just trying to go ahead and bump me out of the race.
Right.
If you committed a crime, that's on your own volition.
Thanks, Mike. And I agree with you definitely, because there's another component of that. One that I find interesting, because if you listen to the show enough, you read my book, you know I'm all about giving people their argument. So I say, Trump's wrong. Trump's guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. Get that guy out of there. I give you that. He did it for own reason. But if that's the case, I do find it kind of odd, and I think that it's impossible for the other side to defend this. So he's wrong. But why is he wrong for exposing corruption only because the reason he wanted to do it was a personal reason, personal vendetta? But the guy who broke the law can be one of the top candidates on the Democratic side for president. So he gets to keep running for the office that the other guy's in, but the other guy can't stay in the office because he wanted to root out the corruption that guy did. That's a problem. We're going to go to Jim in South Elgin. Jim, welcome to Black and Right.
How you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Good. You might have seen some of this part of the Dog and Pony Show where they had these four professors, Turley and these other three mopes on there.
Yep, that's how I started the hour. Yep,
there's one mope, this Pamela Carlin. That's a disgusting, intolerant piece of garbage she is. These people are so mean and so intolerant, and they talk about, you know, conservatives being mean and intolerant. It's all on display for people to see. You know, bringing up Barron Trump and the Barron, it's just stupid. You know, I wasn't a big fan of Obama, but, you know, his kids were off limits. You know, but ever since Trump got elected, these people have open season on Barron Trump, and it's really disgusting.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You're right, Jim. Thanks. And the other piece, too, is that get to your disgusting part in a minute, but this woman kind of goes back to what I'm saying, where people say, look at that woman, strong woman, Pam, whatever, attorney, law professor. She knows her stuff. I'm just a layman. I didn't go to law school. If that woman says he's guilty, he must be guilty. That's somebody who doesn't think critically. Because my argument is that's fine. She may be a brilliant legal scholar, but I can move her and put in, let's not go completely right wing. Let's not go Ted Cruz. I think I said Ted Cruz last time. Let me put Alan Dershowitz in the seat. Lifelong Democrat, never voted for a Republican, voted for Hillary, worked with on the O.J. trial as helping defend O.J. The whole nine. He's a law professor at Harvard. He taught Ted Cruz and Barack Obama. Probably got more experience than Pam. He gets in the seat and says, you have no reason to impeach him. So who's right? Pam or Alan Dershowitz? That's the problem. But to Jim's point about them being nasty people, I like the fact how Nancy now keeps getting indignant and saying, I'm a Catholic, I was raised right. So now I'm like, so the Democrats like Catholics now. That's also laughable. Aren't they the same people who were saying that the Trump's nominee should, there should be a litmus test for judges and Catholicism is bad. So they pull things out when they want to pull them out. I want to go to Dan from Wilmette, but Dan, you got to be quick for me. Dan, welcome to Black and Right.
How you doing? It's great that the Democrats are so upset about foreign interference in our elections while they're promoting having illegal immigrants vote in our elections.
Man, I wanted to get you real quick, so I didn't even read what your topic was, but that is spot on. That's a good way to end the segment. Yeah, you're right. They say foreign influence, but if you let 300,000 people here who are of voting age, they've been here 6 months, and they came across the border illegally. We don't know that background of their beliefs. And we just say, hey, here's a driver's license and you can go vote. Isn't that foreign influence? You're right.
Seems like it to me.
You are right, Dan. Thank you for calling. That was great. Coming up, I'm going to shift gears and talk sports, talk about this thing that's going on with Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick. It's the NFL segment on Black and Right. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
It's the show the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. It's Black and Right on AM 560 with John Anthony and Charles Love.
Welcome back to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer. This is Charles Love, and I want to talk about the NFL now. They always find a way to make the news outside of scoring touchdowns, I guess. I got two stories here, both about, everything being important from a social and racial kind of new, the way things should be and the way we should act and how people are punished for their behavior. The first one is about Tim Ryan, who is a radio analyst for Murph and Mac, San Francisco, covering San Francisco football, being suspended for a comment he made about Lamar Jackson, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. So I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm all knowing on all the cast of characters here. You know, the NFL and NBA both bore me beyond belief now. Used to be a big fan. I could tell you every player on all the teams and where they are. The last NFL game I saw was when the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. So I say that to say I have no idea who Lamar Jackson is. But apparently he's good and might be winning MVP. And the guy covering the game, obviously the opposing team, was on the radio and he said he's really good at that fake. He said, Lamar Jackson, but when you consider his dark skin with a dark football and a dark uniform, you just cannot see the thing. So now he's in trouble for being a racist, for saying a black man has black skin, and it's easier for the black man holding the football to do a ball fake than the white man because you can see the football in his hands or whatever. Don't know Lamar Jackson, don't know Tim Ryan, don't know his intent, don't know what he's like. What I find interesting about these things all the time when they come up, it just, you know, gives the people who like to talk about these things an opportunity to bring up the same old thing. They'll bring up the past, bring up other people who did this. So it becomes this, you know, everybody runs to a corner. It becomes this debate about what he meant and picking it apart and look at what he said. Is he a racist? Is he not a racist? They want everybody around him to comment. They're like, horrible, what do you say? Are you on his side? What do you think? You know, you got Stephen A. and all the pundits on ESPN. So it becomes this big thing. So I just think it's interesting that the guy gets suspended for it so quickly. Because that's what, so I look at everything from a cultural and societal view. So society has gone because what they're calling what the cancel culture. So we've gone so far that anything somebody does, the companies, it's not even about outcry. It wasn't enough time for boycotters and protesters to make it happen. It's like, people hear something, they freak out, and the first response is, that guy's got to go. So it's interesting that that's the first thing. So as a side note, their cornerback used to be with the Seattle Seahawks. See, I know someone. Richard Sherman came out to defend the radio analyst. Some people are saying the comments were racist or whatever. But then there's another story. This Michael Vick is in the news again because the Pro Bowl is doing a game where they're having Hall of Famers serve as league captains. And one of them was Michael Vick, and some woman started a change.com petition, and it has over 220,000 signatures because they don't want Michael Vick to be a fake league captain for a fake football game in the NFL. So here again, the cancel culture is all afoot, and someone gets – so one woman, Joanna Lynn, gets upset, and so now the NFL needs to decide whether Michael Vick is dead to them or not. I assume that this is because of the dogfighting theme from, you know, 1846 or whenever that happened. So it's really interesting that we have gotten to a point in the culture where people get their feelings hurt, and therefore they think other people, companies, politicians, and businesses need to react to their feelings. Everything makes the news now. Why is this even in the news? I mean, I'm sure it's in the news because of the number of signatures she got, but really, who really cares what the NFL is doing? No, first of all, people, when I was watching NFL every week and watching every game and going to the sports bar and doing this every weekend, I wasn't watching the Pro Bowl because no one watches the Pro Bowl. People watch the NBA All-Star game. Some people watch the MLB. Nobody watches the Pro Bowl. So the fact that this is news, and it's because of something he's doing, he's not making money, he's not getting a job about it, and it's from years ago, it's crazy. And that's the other thing. I thought the Democrats were all about criminal justice reform and giving people second chances. So they want to let people out of jail, some of them violent criminals. But a guy goes to jail or loses his job and pays his price for what he's done, and they want to hold it over his head for 20 years. This is why, along with intersectionality, the cancel culture is going to butt heads with reality, and normal people are going to stand up and say this is wrong, and I have to get on the opposite side of this, which will be the opposite side of the left-wing Democrat candidates. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer.
Back to Black and Right with John Anthony and Charles Love on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer. All right, I don't want to put this on John. This is Charles. We don't do this often, but this is soapbox time for me. I'm about to get on the soapbox here. So I think people will find it interesting, though. But so my son's birthday is this week, and so apparently he's having some party today. And he's young, so I'm finding this thing. I don't know if it's me or new. Maybe some older people can call up. People my age in the 40s and 50s can say what happened when they were little. But who knew? There's this trend where apparently kids get birthday parties every single year. For every birthday, they get a birthday party. And apparently, a party is not what it was when I was little. Now, granted, we weren't that wealthy. But even the people that I know that are my age that were middle class that grew up, it was the same thing. You know, I'm 48 years old. When I was growing up, you had a party. Who knows when you're little and too young to remember. But you had a party when you were like 5, right? You know, something like that. And then about 9, you've been in school enough years, you had enough. You made enough friends, you invite your closest friends, you have a party, and then you can have one in your 15 or 16, but usually you're like, I'm old enough, you know, give me some money and I'll go hang out with my friends. So not every year. And the other thing about it, when you had a party, this is what a party was. Mom and dad would buy a cake, maybe order a pizza. Everybody would come to your house, eat the pizza and eat the cake, and then you all would go play. My wife, who's going to beat me, but my wife, I think the party's at the White House. She rented a room at the White House or something, so I got to fly out of here. So we got a hall. You know, everybody's invited. There's lots of people. And apparently, if it's your kid's birthday, you pay for everything. So everybody else gets to come and party and play and shoot lasers and fly a helicopter or whatever the crazy thing you do. And you run around, you take care of all that, you decorate it. This is a big deal. And we do this every year. So, you know, give me a call and tell me if you think this is normal. But I just had to put that out there. This is just insane. So I'm working. So it got to the point even that I tried to unionize the dads. So we get the party, right? And that's the other thing. So all the kids have it. So now you have to go to every party. So you tell them, please stop buying gifts, but they buy gifts. So now you're obligated to buy the next kid gifts because the parents bought your kid a gift. So I got to rack up like 30 gifts. So I'm looking at this booty he won for. I'm like, wow, this is great. But I'm like, this is too much. I got to sell these toys. He doesn't need this many toys. So he's got all these toys. He's having this big party. We're spending all this money. And I know common sense says, I don't need a survey, that the other fathers think the same thing. This is a mother-driven thing. So we're at the party. We're sitting around. And I go to one of the dads. So what do you think about this? They're like, yeah, don't you think this is too much? Yeah, this is too much. Well, what are we going to do? So I'm the voice. I'm the bad guy because I'm like, man, why don't we all just get together and talk to collectively just go to all our wives and say, you know, let's not just do this. They're all around the same age within months, right? These are the people who were born around this time, end of the year, January. Why don't we just have one party for all of them? Or why don't we, you know, come up with something else? Yeah, I'm with you, Charles. And I say, we're going to go talk to them now, right? Yeah. Then I go over there and I look back and I'm the only guy there. They're all afraid. I'm like, ah, so now I'm taking the heat. But I'm like, this is, what happened with society? So on the one side, you know, I'm always talking about culture. On the one side, we got political parties on both sides doing crazy stuff we disagree with. We're condoning bad behavior. We're, you know, we got a culture where immigrants came here and fought for years to get where they wanted to be, came here, didn't speak the language. They made it somehow. And now they're successful. And now their kids feel like they're owed everything because they all just get dumped in this same vat of, you know, complacency, and everything should just be laid at my feet. And this is in some small way contributing to it. And I'm trying to figure out how to stop it. But apparently I'm flying out when I leave here to go to this amazing Taj Mahal birthday party. I don't know where it is. But I think that we all need to collectively stop this trend. It needs to be less. What were you going to say?
What was I going to say?
This is our producer. His eyes lit up when I said that.
Oh, man, this lit me up. So, like you, when I was growing up, I think I got maybe 3 birthday parties.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like the norm.
3. Mm-hmm. In all of childhood. 3. My sisters, every year, with both, with the children, and they each have 2 children.
Ah.
Those, 2 of those children have kids of their own now, every year. The adults have been relegated to a winter birthday party and a fall birthday party.
Oh, God.
Because most of the birthdays either fall in September, October, or January and February. I tried to bring up the fact that the one-year-old should be included in the...
You're my side.
Uh-huh. In the group birthday party.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the one-year-old has to have their own party.
Well,
they're never going to know.
You're just tossing the ball back to me. So my son had his, I want to say his 2nd or 3rd birthday party. And so close friends came, they brought their son. And first I'm like, you're bad parents. Why are you forcing it? Love him, great kid. Why are you forcing him to come here? He was 15. So obviously you're making him come to like a 2-year-old's birthday. Why are you making him get here? So then I'm like, I'm saying the same thing to them. And they're like, no, we had every year. You got to have that. It's memories. I'm like, they don't remember that. Yeah, they do. I said, come here. And I say to him, you know, he's blunt. I was like, so you remember party's father told him, remember that party we had at this guy's? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, what about he's the father's like mad. He's like, what about the one, well, we did this at the thing there. You remember that one, don't you? He said, nope. He doesn't remember it till like maybe. He said, what about the one we did this? That's what the boy said. His father's like, you were 7 there. I said, thanks. So we should start at 7? Does that sound good? So it's crazy. I don't know how we break it, but I had to do it. I know I'm going to pay for it. Well, maybe my wife won't listen to this hour. But I'm like, we have to do something. We have to collectively get together and stop this from happening. You know, you're talking about breaking the cycle of poverty, breaking the cycle of gang violence. We need to break the cycle of every year birthday parties. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer.
Black and Right continues on AM 560, Once again, here are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Welcome back to Black and Right on AM 560 The Answer. And now I'm calming down a little bit, still a little amped up about the birthday thing. Probably need to stay away from coffee, but got to switch gears. One of my buddies called me. He's like, hey, I got to talk about something. You're going to give me a minute or two. I said, yeah, but if you could only if you can hold over because I'm about to vent for a minute. And so he stayed on. I'm glad, you know, he can call for whatever reason he wants. So Matt Podgorski from the Northwest GOP is on, and he wants to talk about Willie Wilson running as an independent. What's up, Matt?
Charles, how you been, my friend?
Fantastic. You?
I haven't seen you at a meeting in a while. Hopefully we'll see you at the next one.
I've been doing a lot of traveling, a lot of stuff going. Look, you, how many people you think could just text me and say, can I call? And I say, call, I don't even know what you want.
You know what? I appreciate that courtesy. Hey, no, but in all seriousness, right, you know, your show's it's got a lot of great concepts, but you know me, I'm a political junkie.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about black candidates, black conservative candidates running as Republicans, this United Senate race. You're a smart guy. How much thought have you really put into it? So we got Peggy Hubbard, right, African-American female running as a Republican. She may or may not get on the ballot. If she does, she's got a good chance. But then our friend Willie Wilson really makes things interesting, right, because he's planning on running as an independent. And, you know, I've been talking to him once a week, and he's telling me, and I don't know if this is crazy or not, but he thinks he can get like half the black vote pulled away from Dick Durbin to go to him as an independent. And I have no idea if that's true. A, do you think that's even possible? And B, is that enough to put the Illinois in play for the Republicans? Because right now, you and I both know this is a blue state and the national party's not even looking at Illinois.
Right. I would say B, I'm going to answer B, A. B, yes, that's enough, but A, I don't think it'll happen. Now, I'm not, you know, I was on board with the Willie thing. We all endorsed him. He did some things that kind of upset me after that, but that doesn't matter. The key is the A portion. If he can do it, yes, but I know he can get a portion because people like him. If nothing else, it's kind of like Tulsi on the Democrat side for president. They think she's genuine. They think he's genuine. They don't think he's making this stuff up. So he can get a portion, but 50 is a tough load. I mean, that's going to be
right.
for Dick Durbin, that's going to be the longevity. It's going to be like he's been there for an office for a while. We know he's capable of doing stuff. You know, if Willie wins, we may get more pro-black stuff. That's cool. But let's be honest, they're going to say we're going to lose some influence because this guy, Dick Durbin, whatever you think of him, got some influence because he's been there for a while. He's high up the rank. We go from Democrat senator who's up here, Illinois matters because it's Dick Durbin, to Willie Wilson way down here. But if he could do it, yes, it would help the GOP. But it would also depend on who that GOP candidate is, because even if Peggy can get on the ballot, it doesn't mean that she'll necessarily win. So, yes, but no, but it's a we'll see.
Well, let me ask you this, if you got another minute, Charles.
You got 35
what's
seconds.
What's your handicap on the Republican primary for U.S. Senate then?
It's hard to say. I don't even know. We got to look at the signatures and see who's on the ballot. I know a lot of people talking about running, but when I see who's there, then I can handicap it better. Yeah. I think it's a little early.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
but
enough.
So call back when we know who's on the ballot, and I'll tell you who's going to win. Thanks,
two
Matt.
Weeks. I'll call you back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And as usual, even by myself, the 2 hours goes really fast. You all keep coming back. We're live from here on. Pay attention to that birthday thing because that's big. And stay tuned next week. Next week, we're going to go back to our themes and we're going to talk about the role of religious leaders in the culture and in politics. I appreciate you listening. You've been listening to Black and Right on AM 560 The Answer. Charles here. John is kind of taking a break, so you know, with the holidays and the things coming up, you'll have to just tune in and see which one of us is here and what's going on. But the show is always going to be good and strong when you tune in. And appreciate having you. Thanks.